to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope here in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And boy, do we have a great show for us. We have a good friend and someone who's written a book, who is an evangelist and a convert. And her book title is What is a Nice Jewish Girl Like You Doing in the Catholic Church? Betty, it's great to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's a thrill to be here.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And, you know, it's interesting, with your background growing up in the Jewish faith. Tell us about your background and a little bit about your family, your story, and just what happened here.
Well, I guess I have to begin in the beginning.
In the beginning. Was it a log cabin? That's what I want to know. I know.
It's a Genesis moment.
It is a Genesis moment. I'm waiting for your star, by the way, on Hollywood Boulevard. I mean, that's coming too. But anyway, go ahead.
We'll let that go.
Where were you born?
I was born in Massachusetts. The town was Lynn. And
you're not a Celtic fan, are you? Because if you are, I'm in trouble.
Well, actually, I was a dental hygienist for the Celtic team for many
years. Oh, that's, you mean you had an opportunity to really make a difference? And I can't recover from when they beat the Lakers every single year. But anyway, keep going.
That's a long time past.
Long time past.
So I was born to two Jewish parents. And it was a difficult time at the time of my birth. My grandfather had just passed away when I was 4 months in the womb. And my mother was an only child, and at that time my father had a breakdown, my grandmother had a breakdown. So my mother went to her Jewish doctor. She had no particular, she would never have a priest and certainly not a rabbi. She was a secular Jewish woman. And so she went to her Jewish doctor. What should I do? My world is falling apart and I'm having a third baby. And the doctor came up with the solution that because my brother and sister were born very quickly, and then I was next, all within a three-year period, that she wouldn't have me, and that he wouldn't give her the medication required to save me. She was Rh negative, and she had bled with my brother and sister, so they required medication. And so he said, we just won't let this child come. I don't know if he called me a child at that point, but that was the decision that was made. And I truly believe in that moment, in the womb, a baby knows things. I don't know what we know, but I think a baby feels things. And, cause we're part of our mothers. A lot came in at that moment. Fear, anxiety, rejection. And, my poor mom trying to carry all of this. She lost her dad so suddenly. He was 58 of an aneurysm. And she had to make this decision and she asked this Jewish doctor. And yet, praise God, I really believe the finger of the Lord touched that uterus in that moment and sealed me because I didn't bleed.
Amen.
So here
Amen.
I am.
Hallelujah. And you are here. You are a miracle from the womb on, right? That's well, fantastic. And so you grew up in this Jewish family.
Right.
And were you very religious?
No, not at all. Personally, I loved going to shul, which we would call it. It was the synagogue. I would go by myself, but my parents, unfortunately, didn't. We had no membership to a temple. We had no connection. My dad was born of Orthodox Jewish parents. His parents were in Israel birth, many generations. My dad was born in Israel. And when he came here at the age of 4 and went to kindergarten and couldn't speak English, he always said, I'm going to be an American, not necessarily a religious Jew.
So the Orthodox background just kind of stayed in Israel or the Holy Land?
With my dad, I don't even know if he had it there because he was just a little boy. But with my grandparents, fortunately, my Bubby and Zadie, my parents, my father's parents, they had moved. My grandfather came first and then my Bubby and my dad came later. And they were very pious.
I see.
And they really had their faith and we saw that. I mean, they only spoke in Yiddish.
So as a side note, you've been to the Holy Land, I know, obviously. And We at Spirit-Filled Hearts lead pilgrimages to the Holy Land, so I have to give a little commercial since we brought it up. October 28th, we will be leaving for the Holy Land, and we are looking for people to join us. It will be an amazing trip. This will be our sixth time. So you can contact us at DeaconSteve@SpiritfulHearts.org, DeaconSteve@SpiritfulHearts.org. Okay. Tell us more. So you used to go to synagogue and...
Yeah, so I'd go by myself. And the only time I ever went as a family was my brother's bar mitzvah. And that was for the grandparents. We did things for the grandparents. You know, it was respect. It wasn't religion. And the one wonderful thing we had at my grandparents' house was Passover. We would have Passover, which is the Seder, which is coming up. And ironically, this year it was on Good Friday. So it comes together because, as you know, I didn't know for many years what that Passover really symbolized, which was the Last Supper.
Amen. Amen. And so you had this yearning, this calling. Mm-hmm. And my brothers and sisters, just remember John 15:16 that says, it's not you who called me, but I who called you and anointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will remain so that whatever you ask of my Father, he may give to you. So you had this calling of some kind that impelled you and prompted you to go to synagogue and learn more. And then what? Keep going.
Well, Hebrew school. That was the next link. My dad said it was a waste of time. He said it was fairy tales and fables, the book. So mm-hmm. You don't have to go. My brother went to the bar mitzvah. My sister went. He said, Betty, you don't have to go, which I was just as glad at that point because I wanted to get those cool tap shoes and tutus and do dance lessons.
Were you Yentl, by the way?
I wish I had that voice. But
did you like that movie, by the way?
I did. I love that movie.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so back to Hebrew school. So I was thinking this morning, there's key people in our lives that really have voices that seem to make a difference. And it was my Uncle Sidney, that first voice. He lived downstairs, and there was an agreement between upstairs and downstairs in our family home.
Right. And this is in the book.
Yes, it is in the book.
I thought it was in
the book.
Yes,
it is in the book.
You see, I know you test me on what's in the book.
It is in the book.
You see, I called it. I want to say I read the book. Michael, she accused me of not reading the book. I read the book. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, so it is in the book. And, right. And my Uncle Sidney told my dad one night, you never crossed my dad. He was very strong. In fact, he was going to be a DJ once. He had a great voice. But anyway, he said to him, you have to give your child something to hold on to that's greater than themselves. And this was a moment in my life. I just remember my own voice being asked, what do you want to do, Betty?
Wow.
And so I said, I didn't really want to go. And I didn't really want my father to think I was a fool to say yes. But then I looked at my Uncle Sidney and I thought, he's offering something here and he's taking a risk. Can you imagine in third grade thinking that? But I did. I looked at him and I thought, there's something here that he thinks is important for me, enough so that he would cross my dad. So I said yes.
My brothers and sisters, what is so important is to understand that the Holy Spirit is constantly working in your life. The Holy Spirit will bring you people to help you, to nourish you, to lead you, to guide you. Look and recognize. Pray, Lord, open up my heart, open up my eyes to see exactly what's happening around me. Because when you do that, everything changes and you start to look at life differently. And so even in third grade, you thought, hey, something's going on here. I'm getting some sort of wisdom being given to me here as a gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I went and boy, did I love it. Hebrew school, you learn the language, you learn the alphabet, you know, as a child, and you learn the prayers and the stories. The stories were so magnificent.
All right, I want to hear in Hebrew, love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, might, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, or something like that.
Oh, well, I don't know exactly, but I know all the prayers began the same. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri haaretz ha'gafen, whatever it was you wanted to bless.
What does that mean?
Bless us, O Lord.
And these thy gifts were
about to receive.
Okay. I knew I liked the Jews. I love the Jews.
Oh, my gosh. The Jews. Well, we have
Jews
to love
Italian,
the Jews.
You know, they come together, right? You know, the Italians go, manja, manja. And the Jews go, well, what do you mean? I'm already eating. You know?
I have a song, but I don't know if I should sing it.
Oh, please.
Well, no, later.
Okay.
We'll save that.
That's after the break. After the break, we're going to lead off with a song. Okay. I love this. Okay. So keep going.
All right. So Hebrew school. So yes, I went, and there was this favorite story besides the Passover, which is the Exodus, which you can see the movie. It was the Ten Commandments. It's a wonderful story.
Charlton Heston is in your life.
Yes, that was magnificent. My favorite of movies. Oh, it's still beautiful to watch. The thought that our people were so special to the Lord was so incredible to me as a young child. And
Moses asked Jesus how much the Ten Commandments would cost.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus says, there's no cost. And he said, I'll take two.
Because he was a good Jew. And he was.
Okay.
But back to the second story I loved the most was about Queen Esther. Esther, if you know her. And thank God the Catholic Bible has Esther.
Yes, amen.
Not all Bibles have Esther.
Yeah, amen.
And yet here she was, if you look at the story, she's huge. She was a slave. She was abducted. Can you imagine she was kidnapped? And look what she became.
Amazing.
It gives us hope.
Okay, so you're in Jewish school, you're growing, and then what?
And then my Hebrew school teacher puts on the blackboard two eyes, and she said, God is everywhere.
Nice.
Yes and no.
Because all of a sudden you go,
Yes. And then she said, so behave. He's watching. And then she left the room.
Right.
Well, as a little child, you just kind of sit there and you look around and you wonder, is he really everywhere? And you start looking at the garbage can and the silliness of how could he be everywhere?
Right.
And then that summer, that same Hebrew school teacher, she was from Israel. She taught us beautiful Hebrew. However, she was on the front page of our local newspaper. She had been arrested as a kleptomaniac. Mm. And I had said to my mother, what does that mean? And she says, that means she stole.
Mm.
And that just, something fractured there in me to have a teacher lie and not really believe what she was teaching me.
Yeah.
And it ignited what my father had been saying, that it's just the control for fools and fairy tales. And that was the beginning of the chink in my armor.
A cheek in terms of your faith in general or what?
Well, in connection with my yes and no, yes, but more so with the Judaism aspect initially. My mother had always said, stay with your own kind, you know, you'll be persecuted. I had a lot of voices of, I don't know if they were that encouraging or maybe that loving in regard to my Judaism to embrace. Yet it was a mixed message because you should date Jewish boys, you should marry a Jewish man, because we want this culture to continue. And it was more cultural than it was religious.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Empowered by the Spirit with an amazing person, Betty Harrison, who's written a book, What is a Nice Jewish Girl Like You Doing in the Catholic Church? We're going to be right back to hear more about this great story. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with his love and shower us with his grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Acclaimed actress Kristen Jasak brings her inspiring play entitled Person to Person to the Freed Theater at Christ Cathedral on May 31st and June 1st at 7 p.m. This critically acclaimed production animates the life and mission of St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Tickets are available at motherteresaproject.eventbrite.com or by calling 714-282-3045, 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are back here high atop the Tower of Hope with Betty Harrison, who is an evangelist and author of a book, What is a Nice Jewish Girl Like You Doing in the Catholic Church? And we've been talking about her going to Hebrew school and her feeling connected with the Lord. And then there was an incident with her teacher, and it's somewhat in which the teacher obviously did things that were inappropriate, and that really caused you to start thinking about a lot of different things, and take it from there. What happened at that point?
Well, so I was 12 years old, and at this point in my life, we had done the bar mitzvah scene, which was great, big parties and all that. But I started to look at my life and think, I really don't want to be going to Hebrew school anymore. And my dad had always said, you don't need to. So I decided to quit at that point. And the wonderful thing is, the gift that my father gave me in that time, even though he wasn't a believer himself, he respected what I had had, and he encouraged something that I had lost, which was faith. And he said to me, I recommend what you do is you go, you read, you seek, you find truth. And when you do, I will honor that.
Amen. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so my brothers and sisters, some of you are listening right now, and you're asking yourself, is God real? Is Jesus real? Well, challenge that notion. Ask the Lord to reveal to you what the truth is. Ask God to bring people in your life, or just that you get that moment that you know that you know that you know that God is very real, because he will let you know. He will not leave you an orphan.
So anyway, I went on with my life from 12 on. That was it. I really don't even remember really praying anymore or anything of religion. And I went off to college, and I met a man. We fell in love. We got married, and we moved to California.
And where did you go to college?
I went to Northeastern University in Boston.
Okay. And so this is Jim. Hi, Jim. A shout out to Jim. And you came out to California, and you married into an Irish Catholic family. Wow.
True. Yeah. This was something new. And speaking of new, again, when I mentioned earlier, there were certain men that really set examples. And another one was Jim's dad. When we visited with them and told them we were getting married at that time, we were going to get married by a justice of the peace. And it was the next day that Jim's dad sat us down and started. He was a very quiet man, except that he was an Irish tenor, beautiful voice. For him to want a private conversation was kind of interesting. And we closed the door, and the first thing he said to my husband, now mind you, we had been dating, you know, over 3 years, he said to him, don't you believe in Jesus Christ? And I'm just looking and wondering how he'll answer this. And tears started to flow down my husband's eyes. And he said, yes, I do.
And this was from his father?
This was from his father, Jay. Yeah.
Wow. And just out of the blue? Or?
Well, the reason was, and then he continued, was, well, if you believe in Jesus Christ, why aren't you getting married in the church?
Nice.
Because we were getting married by a justice of the peace.
Okay.
And so Jim said, well, you know, even though he was an altar boy and had done all those good things, he had walked away from that. And he felt he'd be a hypocrite to just walk in for a wedding. So he said no. Well, then something really incredible to me happened when Jay turned to me and he says, well, Betty, what about you? And at first I'm like, oh, no, he's going to ask me if I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm shocked that my husband believes in Jesus Christ. And yet that's not what he said. He said, don't you have a temple or a synagogue that your family goes to? Couldn't you get married there?
Wow.
Huh. Wow. Is indeed. I was astounded. I stepped back and I just said, that would be good enough. And he said, yes. I said, well, I'm sorry. We don't have that. I've never had that. And I said, but how could that be good enough? It's not Jesus Christ. And he says, yes, but it's God. And you'd be inviting him to your wedding. And I can't imagine anyone married without God in their wedding.
Wow. And that had an impact on you.
Huge impact. to me, that was Christian love. That was Catholic love. I had been rejected a lot as a Jewish girl, actually. As, you know, my mom said, don't step out. They'll persecute you. And people laugh at this, and I never get why. But when I was 12 at that same time, and I had mentioned to my campfire girl new friend, not a Jew, first new friend that wasn't, she told me I killed Jesus.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. And then how are you doing today after you killed Jesus, right? Yeah.
Well, the good news is I found out later it's true.
Yeah.
We all died for him.
Yeah, we all, in a sense,
he died
right?
for us, I should say.
It is our sinfulness and his having to come down on the cross. And what a blessing for us for all of eternity, right?
Amen.
The
Amen.
Good news of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Okay, so where did you get married?
Which time?
okay. Keep going.
So that's funny, because that first day that we got married by the Justice of the Peace, I grew up in Peabody, Massachusetts, that Justice of the Peace didn't do weddings. I don't know what he did. I don't what else do they do? Anyway, he didn't do weddings, so we had to go to the next town that morning and get married in Linfield, and then have the Linfield Justice of the Peace come to Peabody. So that was two in one day. And then 15 years later, as the story goes...
Our radio audience is now, you know, she just drops it 15 years later. What?
Well, because there's a lot in between to get there. But when I finally come to the faith earlier than Jim, because he had been away, the first thing they asked me was if your marriage was blessed.
Right. And so you got married in a Catholic church 15 years later.
Yes.
Okay. So
at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton.
At St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Irvine, California, Nine Hillgate. Okay. So so what led you to the Catholic faith?
Huh. Well, it truly was the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And what came about to get you there?
Well, it was in sections. First, God opened up to me at a beach.
I think I've been to that beach.
You've been to that beach.
I've been to that beach. Okay.
You should all go to that beach.
And what beach is that?
It's Crystal Cove in Southern California. And it's a beautiful beach. And I just had a mystical experience there. I opened up to the Lord. Didn't know it was the Lord. I was doing a meditation with a friend. And he showed me his universe. And he took me out. And when he took me out, it was astounding. I mean, I was floating and I saw the planets, I saw the stars, and the most memorable thing he said to me while I was out there was, I created all of this, this is my creation, and it's about the Star of David and the Star of Bethlehem. Those are the two most important stars. And at that time, at the age of 28, I had no clue how that could be connected or what that even meant.
And was this during the day?
Mm-hmm.
During the day, were you asking the Lord for anything, or it just came upon you as you were gazing?
Well, I was meditating on a green stone, and this light had come down through it from the sunshine and had knocked my friend and I both back. I call it slaying the spirit now, but at that time I didn't have those words. And so all I was seeking was to understand what we can't see.
So my brothers and sisters, as you take a look at Psalms, and of course Psalms were written by David... It says Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good, that you may dwell in the land and have security. And then, of course, the famous verse 4 of Psalm 37, find your delight in the Lord, who will give you your heart's desire. So your heart's desire was to know God. And my brothers and sisters, the Baltimore Catechism got it right. That we must seek God, to know God, to love God, and to serve him. You know, what also got it right is the Beatitudes in Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, which means God's will, and then they'll be satisfied. You had within you this desire to know God, this
yes.
desire to realize and recognize the truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, as it says in the Gospel of John. And God came to you and revealed himself to you.
Amen.
And then what did you do?
Nothing.
Nothing. You just said, okay, surf's up.
Yep.
Yeah. You know,
sad,
I'm going to ride the surfboard
yeah.
and whatever.
No. Actually, what happened was someone told me that experience probably happened to me because for the first time I was seeking something outside of myself. And that was a baby.
I see.
And so I was no longer looking inward. I was looking outward.
Mm-hmm. And so you were seeking certainly to have a family. God came to you, took you out there in your mind and saw this universe and knocked you off your feet, then really what happened from there?
Well, what happened was I had a baby. And that was a wonderful, incredible thing, because Jim and I had agreed when we first got married we weren't going to have children. And yet we both decided together on a ski lift, we were stuck floating for many hours, that in 6 months we would try. First try, there she was, Jessica. And during the time of carrying her, I had lost a child prior, and I had to be quiet. So while I was quiet and resting, I read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Wow.
Yeah. Somebody said it was a great children's story. I knew nothing else about C.S. Lewis. And that day on the beach, just one other thing, when my dad had sent me out at the age of 12 to seek, I didn't realize till that day I went on the beach. My friend and I, she invited me to go to a metaphysical bookstore. And when I went to that store, I didn't even know what the word meant. And yet, when I looked at those shelves and I looked at the authors, I had read philosophy, I had read occult, I had read spirituality. Those authors were my friends for years, since the age of 12. And I realized I was reading my way back to God and not even knowing it.
It's very important, though, that we say that these are not the stores that we recommend that
absolutely
we go to.
Absolutely not.
So that was part of your experience. But, you know, remember, it's very, very important that we face principalities and powers that we cannot see that are attached to anything New Age and anything related to that. And so, but this was part of your personal journey. And so as you went in that store and you realized that, you know, there's something beyond yourself and you continue to be on this journey. So keep going.
Well, and in regard to that, I will say, that is absolutely true. You have to be very, very careful. I didn't realize that the spiritual realm was even real at a good point of my life. And it was, I have to say, and this is the hardest part of my story, it was in opening up too much in regard to meditation, in regard to a course that a friend had that wasn't good. And in a meditation that particular time with these friends, something happened that was of potential demonic visuals. And while we were in the meditation, I saw it, other people saw it. I had never seen anything like that. And a friend of mine, a week later, while we were in a cabin, had stopped talking to me. And I didn't like the feel of the cabin. It was cold. There was something I couldn't determine. And my friend, there was a third friend that wanted to tell me about Jesus Christ. She
Amen.
Wanted to tell me about Jesus Christ. She had been a Jewish woman. And she says, I have to tell you how my life has changed since I met the Lord. And honestly, at that point, I did not have any desire for that man because I somehow had killed him. And I couldn't look at that cross. It really, really made me feel almost ill. So when she had said this, I said, no, thank you. Well, the other friend that had been at the meditation, she and I were bathing our little babies, and there was a heater in the bathroom. And when I turned around, my baby was all red and almost looked burnt. And I said to my friend, who wouldn't talk to me about what was wrong, I said, something's wrong here. Something's wrong with you. You need to tell me. And she said, oh, I can't. You won't love me anymore. And I said, what could possibly cause me to stop loving you? I've known you for 9 years. Well, she had confessed that at that opening of that meditation, something had attached to her, and that she had this horrible, overwhelming desire to smother her child, her baby. And for 45 minutes the night before, she had to fight it off and pray for a light to protect her. Well, I have to say, this so astounded me, so frightened me, and enlightened me, because suddenly the spiritual realm was true. And to think, if this evil was real, the first thoughts that came to me was, get me garlic, get me a cross.
Amen. We're going to be right back to learn more about this exciting story on what a nice Jewish girl like Betty is doing in the Catholic Church. We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit.
underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
Now on DVD and digital download, a story about finding truth, meaning, and beauty in the last place they expected.
I can't become Catholic. What, am I insane? There's no way.
A film to encourage your faith and help you reach out to others.
I thought, this is just nonsense. These people are crazy. Atheism is much more rational.
Convinced, featuring over 20 of today's most interesting and articulate Catholic voices, including Jennifer Fulweiler, Scott Hahn, Abby Johnson, and Patrick Madrid. Get convinced now at convincedmovie.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back high atop the Tower of Hope here at beautiful Christ Cathedral. Come see us. It's an amazing place to worship and be at. And we're with Betty Harrison, a good friend who's becoming even a better friend over time here. And she wrote a book, What is a Nice Jewish Girl Like You Doing in the Catholic Church? And she's talking about her journey. And right before the break, we were talking about, you know, going to a particular store or an activity in which there may be a certain type of New Age, metaphysical type, either meditation or chanting or any types of things. And my brothers and sisters, it's very important to understand that we are in a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. We are to stay away from stores or activities that are not of the Lord, any sort of things that basically will lead you away from our faith is not something that you want to be part of, because quite frankly, the demonic world is real. I mean, that's a teaching of the Catholic Church. And the story that Betty just gave was a woman who literally tried to kill her baby there for a period of time, I guess.
Considered it.
Fought
it.
Yeah, fought it and considered it from some sort of a influence on her. But what that did is God can use all kinds of things and use that to for you to realize. And it's interesting that so many people do get there at times through, well, if evil is real, then maybe God then must be real, you know, and lead you into this wanting God because you've experienced the opposite side. And so that sounds like that was somewhat of your story in terms of kind of giving you that spark to further investigate.
Yes, I don't want to give any credit to evil, but I will give credit to Jesus Christ in that he can use that, and that I was propelled literally that night into Jesus' arms.
Wow.
Because I said, my friend, we need to talk to Deborah, and we need to find out what she wants to tell us about Jesus Christ. She said she wanted to tell me something. So we went down later in the night and said to Deborah, tell me. And she said, well, before I tell you, I have to tell you both something. I know you've been opening up a lot and too much, and I sense evil around you. We hadn't even told her.
Wow.
The conversation.
Wow.
And so I
said, where is this one? Is this the one in San Francisco?
No, this was in Big Bear. In a cabin.
Where is she? I got to meet her.
Oh, well, that's another story.
Okay. All right. Off the air.
Anyway.
Okay.
So,
shake her hand.
Yes.
The way.
And so she said, we need to pray. And so for the first time, we prayed the Our Father, mm-hmm. who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us from evil. And thank you for our listeners that you did that. That's great. And so keep going.
Okay. So as soon as the prayers, we did the prayer, they both said the room had been very cold and it had gotten warm. I didn't feel that. Well, all of a sudden I heard this screaming coming from the baby monitor, and I ran upstairs, and there was no baby crying. Yet that scream was very frightening.
Wow.
And so I got down and I had just talked to Deborah, and I had basically said to her, she said to me, you can open your heart to Jesus. And I said, oh, no, I can't join that religion. My dad would have a fit. He doesn't even want me to go to the temple, never mind the church. And she said, no, just open your heart. So the prayer that I said was after I was praying over my daughter, because she had started to cry for real a second time. And the second time she cried for real, I went up and I was rubbing her back. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm opening my heart just a little to your son, Jesus. But I don't know if I really believe in him. But you already know that. But if I think you know that, maybe I do believe.
Amen.
And that was my first prayer.
Awesome prayer. And then what happened?
And then it was morning, the next morning, and it was just like the Chronicles of Narnia. It was a winter cabin, and spring had broken through. I mean, the sun was brighter. Everything was warmer. I had such joy in my heart that the idea of this man, Jesus Christ, being real was the beginning of a new opening. And it was like he took my hand, and he just pulled me in, and the dance began. And then people started inviting me to things. Somebody invited me, you're going to love this, to a Baptism of the Holy Spirit seminar.
Wow. I got to shake that person's hand.
You know that person.
Who was that?
Josie.
Okay. Awesome. God bless you, Josie.
Yeah. So, you know, the men had the voices of truth. I kept hearing, you know, my Uncle Sidney, my dad, my husband had even said, Betty, you go out, you seek, you search. I don't have time. I have to go to work. And you bring home the best. So that's how that developed. Well, when my friend asked me to go to the Holy Spirit seminar, I didn't know what that was, but I said yes. And it was Our Lady, Queen of Angels. And
who was leading it?
Deacon Sullivan was part of it at that time.
Wow.
And yeah, but I don't know who the leader was.
Okay.
And it was on the third week. It was an 8-week session, I believe, or six.
Mm-hmm.
I went to St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. Someone had invited me in the interim to a healing mass. Go figure. So when I went to the healing mass, my friend that had had the horrible experience of the smothering of the child, she had a vision while we were in prayer. And I saw a gold ray. I didn't know she was having a vision, but I saw a gold ray coming down into my mind's eye. And afterwards, she said, I saw Jesus. He came to me. His hands were opening. He had these glowing rays. And I thought to myself, I think I saw a corner of her vision.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
And that night I heard people speak and pray in a language I had never heard. It went something like, they were speaking in tongues. You know that language, right?
Well, it is a spiritual language, my brothers and sisters, as seen in 1 Corinthians 12 and also in Romans 8. In which it says that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit will pray within us. And to speak in that language of the Spirit is something that God has given us the opportunity to do when we're open to it. And it's something that is very powerful in the charismatic renewal, but throughout the world and in many Christian churches.
Yeah, so God gave me the opportunity to hear that evening. And it wasn't until the last session of those baptisms in the Holy Spirit that they asked us if we wanted the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I'd missed a little bit of it, so I wasn't even sure what those gifts were. But I knew gifts were good, and I always liked presents. So I said yes. And so they took turns in praying upon us. So as they prayed upon me, something happened to me, and all of a sudden, I just had flooding of tears come upon me. And they were tears unlike tears I'd ever seen. They were like bulbous, big tears, hot. And yet I wasn't sad. So it was, why am I crying like this?
They're called Holy Spirit tears. You know, when God comes upon you, you just feel this intense joy and this intense love. And we realize how much we're loved for the first time. And this is so important, my brothers and sisters, to read Romans 8, that nothing will separate you from the love of God, neither present things nor future things, nor height nor death, nor angels nor principalities, and that there's no condemnation in those who love Christ Jesus. When we really realize for the first time how much we're loved, everything changes. And I believe that those experiences that you're talking about, which God showed you his universe, this experience of the Holy Spirit, you felt the love of Jesus, the love of God, the love of the Father, the love of the Holy Spirit upon you.
Yes, yes, indeed. And I praise God and thank him for that. I mean, to be chosen once as a Jewish girl, but twice is pretty special.
Is very, very special. And so from there, then what happened?
Well,
you started to get involved in church?
Yeah, well, then, you know, every time with God, I don't know about you, but you think you're done and then there's more.
I never think I'm done. Now, let's clarify that.
Okay.
You know, I have a long way to go. This is called, like, peeling layers of an onion, we often talk about.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And Jesus is constantly saying, come to me, come to me, come to me. You know, and the closer you get to God, my brothers and sisters, the closer you get to Jesus, the more you realize how far you have to come.
Amen.
And we're never going to get there until we're with him in heaven.
That's right.
You know, and then we will see how he was with us every step of the way.
Yes, that is so true. And in writing a book and going through spiritual direction, you see that. I mean, when you go back in your life, that's the intent of spiritual direction. Partially, it's to come closer to the Lord, but also to see him in our life and to transform those moments of pain or hurt or loss or accusation or whatever it was, to realize God was there.
We have a really good friend, Father Jim Nesbitt, and he gave us a homily one time when we were in Israel, actually. And in the homily, he talked about our lives, and he said, take a look at a tapestry on the backside, and all the threads look like they're all jumbled together, and it looks like a complete mess. And then you flip it, and this perfect tapestry, perfect picture of whatever it is that is just ideal. And you realize that in your life, my brothers and sisters, you really won't change anything if you had the opportunity. As he said, when you go to heaven and you look back and you'll see that God used everything.
Mm-hmm.
He made everything into who you are. And even though you stumbled and fell, even though that there were things you did that you didn't want to do in retrospect, God still uses it to build you up into this perfect, beautiful tapestry.
Mm. Amen. That's beautiful. And yeah, it's true. I mean, we can be so hard on ourselves and beat ourselves up, but trust in God. So from there, let's see. So I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that night I received the gift of tongues. And as I was praying, it was so strong, my face almost felt numb. And I remember going up to Deacon Sullivan and saying to him, this is very powerful. I said, is this taking me over? And he said, first of all, no. God is a gentleman, and he'll only take you as far as you're willing to go. Do not be afraid. But secondly, when you get in the car, praise the Lord. And when you get home, be silent, because you'll scare your husband terribly. So that's where I kind of went from that. Well, and I thought I was done. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't have to go to any particular church. I was done. So I thought. Anyway, what happened was that little girl that I was so desirous of having, she was an interesting, you listen to your children. You know, it's through children sometimes that God is probably closest. And this little child, I mean, it started about 18 months. She was jumping up and down. We didn't have Easter at that point. We only had the bunny. And I said to her something like, do you have a bunny inside you? And she said, no, I have God inside me.
Wow. Awesome.
So this was the beginning of my hearing this little child's voice. And she knew things. I mean, she knew I was pregnant before I knew. She knew I lost the baby before I knew. She knew things. So I learned to really listen to this little voice. So one day she said to me, Mommy, she was about to be four. I'm not too far away from this baptism of the Holy Spirit. She said, Mommy, I want to be baptized, and I want to be baptized with my baby brother.
Wow.
She's not even four yet. And so I kind of looked at her and said, she said, why am I not baptized? And I said, well, Daddy and I came from different faiths. We had different names of God, and we decided our child could choose for themselves. That's a ridiculous notion. However, God blessed us. And this child said, well, I know Christ is Lord.
I'm deciding for myself at four. Praise the Lord. How anointed is that? You know, how blessed you are,
to
have a child that has that gift of wisdom at that such young age. And then what happened?
Well, then I went up to the priest at the church and said, my little girl wants to be baptized. You know, can you baptize her? And when he started to ask the questions, are you Catholic? No. Is your husband practicing? No. He said, well, I don't think I can help you.
Well, we're going to be right back to learn more about this story, this miraculous story of Betty Harrison. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are on Empowered by the Spirit.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are here on Empowered by the Spirit at beautiful Christ Cathedral with Betty Harrison, who has written a book, What a Nice Jewish Girl Like You Is Doing in the Catholic Church. And it's so important that I reinforce the fact that there has to be one person who is sponsoring the babies or the child who is being baptized, who obviously is Catholic. And at that time, your husband wasn't practicing and you had not yet converted. And so then what happened?
Well, then I prayed about it and immediately the phone rang and my friend said, I know an ecumenical group at the university and maybe there's somebody there that can do the baptism for the kids. So I called up and I left a message with the secretary that I wanted my child to be baptized with their little baby brother. And I got a call back from a minister, Pastor Dennis, and he said something astounding. He said to me, so you and your children want to be baptized together? Now, that was astounding because I didn't leave the message that I wasn't baptized. And yet I had been thinking about the fact, if this means anything, to me it was like an insurance policy. You know, if it's good, it's good. If you don't need it, no big deal, no loss. And yet I started to think, if this means something for my babies, I don't want to be separate from them. And here was this invitation for me to become baptized too. And praise God, we were baptized on June 10th, which is my Irish Catholic mother's birthday, and I know from afar, 3,000 miles away, they had been praying. You know, they never said anything to me again about my faith or lack of, and yet they had rosaries all over their house. So I know they were praying for their grandchildren to be baptized. What good grandparent wouldn't be? And so the Lord, I think, really honored that by giving their babies to the Lord on my mother-in-law's birthday.
When did you go or enter the Catholic Church?
Okay, so from there, the next thing that happened, again, I thought I was done. And then my little girl said to me, Mommy, I think Mary's the most beautiful woman in the world. And I said, Mary? Who's Mary? And she says, you know, the mother of Jesus. And I had to ponder that. Why would she need another Jewish mother? She already had one, me. And yet, I listened to this little child. And so I started to investigate, and I got an invitation to come listen to a group about Our Lady, and they gave me this little book, Louis de Montfort, on how to pray the rosary. And I had miracles with that rosary. Each time, something miraculous occurred more and more, starting up on a hill and seeing a miracle of the sun here in Irvine, go figure, right by Concordia. And I saw things that I didn't understand. I saw this ball in front of the sun. It was a white ball covering it. And I had that desire to see the sun on the beach, and now I was able to look at it, and yet it was blocked. And as I was looking at it, I saw this shape of a blue coming out, and then I saw these two gold rays coming from the heaven to the earth. And I thought, oh boy, I'm burning my eyes. But there was no pain. And suddenly our little girl jumped on my lap, because we were praying this rosary, and they were playing on the hill. And I said, Jessica, just look quickly. I told you not to, but look at the sun and tell me what you see. And she said, I see a big white ball. I see a blue thing coming out of the cross, and I see two gold lines. Interesting. Didn't know what that meant. And then the next day, my friend invited me to go to Our Lady Queen of Angels for a second rosary. And as I was kneeling there, I saw some things in that church. One, I saw the outline of Our Lady's mantle. It was in a mosaic. And I thought, that's so interesting. That's the same shape I saw coming out of the sun yesterday. And then I looked, and on the altar, I saw this big white circle. And it was inside this golden vessel. And I said to my friend, what is that? because it looked like what I'd seen as the sun. And she said, that's our Lord. That's the Eucharist. That's what we believe. And I was just like astounded at what I had been seeing. And so as I looked around, what more could I see that I hadn't understood? And those crosses, that cross that I had seen had been at an angle. And it seemed wrong because it wasn't upright, so I didn't think it was cross. But as I started looking around this church at all these, what you would call stations, that cross was at that same angle as he carried it.
Wow. So then what?
Well, Larry, then what? Because now I'm thinking, oh my Lord, you've been showing me things. Lord, is this real? I can't believe I'm still asking if this is real with all you're showing me. But for a Jewish girl to step into this faith, to step into a Catholic church is very challenging, from my heritage to my parents to my experiences. And if this is real, I'm sorry, Lord, I need one more thing, just one more, something outside of myself that I can believe in. And what I asked was for my son to be healed. He was a baby at 10 months old, and basically I had been to Jewish doctors, and he required surgery, and they said they could wait, that it wouldn't harm him, but what he had wouldn't go away. And so I offered the Lord my son, and I said to his mother, if this is true, and you are who you are, and your son is who he is, and your church, this Catholic church, is the true church, and you are asking me to be a part of it, I need more. I need proof beyond proof. And if you show me this, then I can be good. I can come every week into this church. But without that, I can't possibly tell my parents this is what I'll do. And so my friend took this prayer petition to a special place, and I was told that the prayer was burnt as offering, as incense, brought up to heaven to the Lord at his altar. And when she returned from pilgrimage, she told me what had happened. And then I went over to my 10-month baby check for our son, to our Jewish doctor. And as he started to do the exam, he did it once, and he did it twice. And as he went to the third time, my heart started to really beat hard. And he said to me, Betty, did you change babies? Because your baby is completely healed, and this is impossible.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
So then, as we're running out of time,
yes,
here, you became Catholic. How soon after?
3 years. I went to RCIA. I had a lot of questions coming from the Old Testament. There's a lot I didn't know, a lot I didn't understand, and I needed to know. And this Jewish mind has a lot of questions.
And so then you, on Easter Vigil?
Yes, 1991.
1991. And Jim then came back to the church?
It was it was a Good Friday. A friend had invited me to a Good Friday, and she had given me a little pamphlet, and she had asked if I'd like to attend. Always invite people, I have to say that. And it was invitations that brought me all these places. And usually it was women that invited me. But my little girl had this pamphlet, and she was a good little soccer player. And Jim had said to her, he was her coach, I want to reward you, thinking an ice cream cone. And she said, Daddy, I want you to come back to the church.
Wow.
I want you to come to church with me and Mommy. And as soon as she said that, I said, no, honey, he can't. That's not right. And they both looked at me. And I said, well, I learned from the Blessed Mother that don't get in my way, just pray. And people can only come through their own heart. And as much as you want him to come, he has to want to come himself. And that day he came, and he's been back ever since.
Praise the Lord. So you wrote this book, and what led you to write the book?
Well, I had been telling my story to a lot of people in different places, and they all kept saying, you should really write that down. And so I had taped it, and then I got hurt. And when I got hurt, I couldn't work. And when I said to the Lord, what do you want of me? I was at adoration. And what a joy to get hurt and to have every day to give to the Lord. And I said, what do you want of me? And he said, I gave you your life. I want you to share it. And I want you to write it. And until you do, you're not going to go back to work.
Wow. And you have written this book and is now on Amazon. Is that correct?
That's true.
And how can people get it?
So they just put in either Betty Helene Harrison or go to Amazon.com or put in what a nice Jewish girl like me is doing in the Catholic Church. And it'll pop up. Just Google it.
Wonderful. And so it's available and they can get it sent to their homes. And what do you hope to happen as a result of writing this book?
Well, first of all, I just want to say I take no profit from my life. Everything that is of profit from these books will be donated. And I'm hoping for a well in your ministry.
Wow, fantastic. Well, praise the Lord. And, you know, it's the Lord's ministry, that's for sure. And this book, I know, is already changing lives. And as people read it, you know, they're amazed at the many, many miracles that God has done in your life, and which is an amazing thing. So what's the final things that you want people to understand about, you know, as they interface with those that of the Jewish faith? Should we evangelize, not evangelize them, or how do we approach them?
Well, I think we have to be careful when we speak to people about faith. We have to meet them where they are and love them. One of the things that I found out was there's a lot of history with the Catholic Church that was painful, as all people and places, we make mistakes and things happen. And the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Before you speak to a person, ask the Holy Spirit to speak, because then your words will be good. They won't be judgmental. They'll be loving. We need to love our brothers and sisters. I mean, I see Muslim brothers and sisters, and I hug them, and I say, we have the same Father Abraham. I mean, we need to love and meet them where they are, and not to judge, and to be cautious, because there are hurts in people's hearts. And that name Jesus is a real challenge. It's a huge challenge, as we know in Scripture. It's the greatest name. And yet, if we approach incorrectly, it can be hurtful. We don't want to turn people away. We want to bring them forward with the love of the Lord.
But the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And that name of Jesus is so powerful, and part of the reason why it is a challenge for many people, because it is the light of God, right? The power of that holy name of Jesus. And so, but what you're saying is that, as Paul did with the Athenians, when he told the Athenians, you're worshiping Jesus, but you just don't even know it, when you worship in this tomb of the unknown God, that's Jesus.
Amen.
And so he did reach them at that level. So for you, you are spreading the word of God through the book, through speaking engagements and so forth. And, you know, what do you hope to happen in your life?
Well, I'm going to be retiring soon. And my husband and I, we love ministry. We love volunteering. We love, you know, I say God is one of my favorite subjects, and we hope to be one of his. We just love going forth and trusting.
Amen.
I just hope for each day and pray for good.
And you see the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which we strongly recommend. Jesus, I trust in you. Great to have you on the show, Betty. And Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, and worship you, and glorify you. We thank you, Lord God, for the gift of faith. We thank you, Lord God, for the gift of choosing us. We thank you, Lord God, for the gift of Betty and all those who have come to faith as a result of your prompting, as a result of the Holy Spirit. Bless all of our listeners with every spiritual blessing, and heal them spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Our Lady of Guadalupe, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Acclaimed actress Kristen Jasek brings her inspiring play entitled Person to Person to the Freed Theater at Christ Cathedral on May 31st and June 1st at 7 p.m. This critically acclaimed production animates the life and mission of St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Tickets are available at motherteresaproject.eventbrite.com or by calling 714-282-3045, 714-282-3045.
Prayer is powerful. Hi, this is Bishop Tan Nguyen of the Diocese of Orange. And prayer to God through the Blessed Mother is even more powerful. Let's pray right now for an end to abortion in our country. Let's pray 100 million memorare this year for an end to abortion and the protection of human life, from the moment of conception to natural death. If we pray one memorare an hour, we will reach our goal by the end of the year. So let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgin, our Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful, O Mother of thy Word incarnate. Despise not my petition, but in thy clemency hear and answer me. Amen.